Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's happening right now. It's not every single person in America that feels one way, but they've listened to a minority of people who feel some way, maybe 2 or 3%, some of the statistics are, and they turned 100% of America that way. And because we sat silently or said nothing, or we're just wanting just to go to work, do our job, take care of our family and not get involved in anything, this 2 to 3% turned our nation to the point where now you have, you know, 4 or 5 different bathroom choices to go to. It's like, which one am I going to go to today?
Yeah.
Or, you know, marriage. And now you have, in regards to, if there is no difference in the mindset of what people are trying, the narrative they're trying to put out, there's no difference between men and women. There's no difference. You know, everybody's the same. That just comes all the way out in everything. It unfolds in everything. The unfolding of that narrative is what's already happened, where now, and there are, you know, talented, strong women that are in the military, and that's their choice to be able to do that. And, but not every single woman necessarily wants to go do that. But with the draft, she has no choice. Yeah. And there's other women who, you know, they wouldn't want to do that. I mean, they would take care of their families.
Sure.
They would support their husbands while they were doing it. And I couldn't imagine, you know, your wife's number being drawn, because that's what happened during the draft, that the husband's number was drawn and everybody, you know, mourned that. And they kind of went through the whole transition, waving goodbye on the trains and the buses. Can you imagine a husband and his kids standing there while the wife is going back with a gunny pack with a sea bag on her back?
No, I can't.
Teresa,
no.
I don't know. And getting on the bus and your wife is waving to you, or your daughter is waving to you, and she's going to go to Germany or, you know, wherever it's happening in the world, Middle East, and fight ISIS.
Wow.
That's what they're talking about doing. That's what Ash Carter, the Secretary of Defense, who was over the defense, the choice of our president, which was after Hagel, right?
Chuck Hagel.
Who was saying this whole battle plan, whatever. We're in some pretty interesting, that's where we are. That's what they're discussing right now. And the way this narrative unfolds, they can't legitimately continue just to scrutinize men between the ages of 18 and 25 and say they're the only ones that have to defend our country and have to register by law to selective service. They're going to have to address that. And there's many ways to address it. We can go back to the way things were, which going back doesn't seem to be, you know, the place for America in this mindset. Forward, forward, forward. But when God calls you, when men calls you, they tell you to go forward. When God calls us, he tells us to go back to him, to go up and to go back.
Yeah.
Return to me. He doesn't say keep going on in the wrong mistake. He says return back to the teachings of your father. So anyway, so that's where we are right now. Can you imagine? Maybe it would be President Obama that would be there like FDR. And he would reach in there, and all of a sudden, the first name he pulls out is Sasha, his daughter, or Malia. I mean, why would we want that? Why would we want Sasha or Malia to go to war? Wouldn't we want that to be their choice? Wouldn't, I mean, if that's, they wanted to get in the military, maybe they have a unique talent to be able to do that. But a draft? You don't have a choice.
You're going.
Men 18 to 25, by the way, just so you know, because everybody's telling you everything goes your way, you don't have a choice. You go. If your number gets picked, you go. And some people, you know, like I guess it was President Clinton, he went to Oxford or something during that time.
He didn't go.
He didn't inhale, and he didn't go to Oxford.
Right.
He did go to Oxford.
Now, let me tell you, for those who are thinking that they're going to not register, well, if a male today does not register, that's not, you know, it's okay. But if you do plan to go to college, and
you can't go to college without,
yeah, you know, you're not going to get a Pell Grant, you're not going to get any federal money. That's one of the number one things they check to see, are you even registered?
But the law says you have to.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
They'll fine you.
Oh, yeah.
They'll fine you. And it just seems so unhonoring to women to say, you know, I'm going to stay here while you go fight the war. And somebody says, well, I'm just going to go fight it then. Well, you're going to leave your children?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
And who's
going to? We're going into an area. We've ventured and we've done this. I mean, we sat back and you hear everybody silent as can be. And the ones that are talking are like a very religious, hateful type things mm-hmm. being said. It's like, oh my goodness, we got to deal with our own adultery before we start dealing with that.
Hello.
But it's like, we got to, in our own selves, the church, come back to God. We've got to find our place in God. And we can't just say we're there. You know, we get into the Word of God, we find out we have to make some changes in our life and changes in our marriages and changes in our family and changes in our finances and changes. You know, forget about trying to change the world. We need to actually, you know, change ourselves. Forget about trying to transform America. Let's transform our own minds. And we're in this place right now where they're talking, our leaders are talking about registering our daughters and our wives, which to myself would be totally amazing, for the draft to go to war.
Wow.
And they're saying this, and the people that are, the ladies that are talking about this, the women that are talking about it, I mean, they're saying, we'll make this article available to you on the VFN Torch. They're saying, and we want it to be equal. So if he has to carry 80 pounds, she has to carry 80 pounds.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. You know, that everything has to be equal. And it's like, you know, it's just not going to end well. This whole thing is not going to end well. And maybe the pendulum is going to swing so far that it's going to kind of start swinging back, mm-hmm. you know, to normal again. But this is where we are. And that's what they're talking about. And we'll make the whole article available to you. And it gives us reason to begin to pray and say, God, you know, we've obviously, if we're going to send our daughters to fight for us, you know, what have we done?
It's so important. What you're saying is that this.
And I'm not saying that women that they're not called and has a desire to be in the military could be in the military. I'm talking about just every woman in general.
Mandatory.
A lottery that's. You know, it's already unfair for the men, you know, that necessarily didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But if they won't volunteer, that's what will happen. But the women happen to do that.
It's so important to identify, like you're saying, this is where we are.
Yeah.
So many times people bury their heads in denial. They don't want to look. They hope, as much as we hope it's not real, it's real.
Yeah.
And the first thing in diagnosing any situation is you got to find out what is real, what is happening now, and then evaluate where do we want this thing to go, what's the desired outcome, and start looking in that way. But if we can never repent of something we don't ever acknowledge, we have to be able to acknowledge and look.
And we're there. I mean, this is not like some theory. We've made so many decisions to get rid of gender, to get rid of differences, saying that we're all equal, that we all – deserve to be treated equally, but everybody's different than everybody.
Sure.
You know, everybody's the same. But now it's that they have no choice. Now they put women on the front line of defense. It's very specific what they said. It'll be in the article, but it's in danger basically that, now that they can be there, that means they have to be, that's the reason why the men were the only ones who could do it, because they're prior to that decision just recently made during Obama's administration. And he's for women. I guess he's for women fighting for him, I guess, you know. You know. And I'm not talking about women who are called to be in the military, and there's great women in the military, but I'm talking about Sasha Malia, you know, and they could choose to go in there, but wouldn't it feel kind of like, you know, if you sent your daughters to go fight for you, it just wouldn't seem right. It just wouldn't seem right, you know. It just wouldn't seem right. You know, if you were gone fighting and they had to fight because of, you know, whatever, that seems different. But if you stayed home while you sent your daughters to fight for you.
I just keep thinking over and over again, as you're talking about this, I just keep thinking about all of the strong young men that we have playing all these college football games.
Right.
They would gladly put down their helmets, gladly put down their pads and go fight. You know, they wouldn't feel right having their sister, their neighbor, their relative going and fight for them.
Yeah, and there's we're
while
here.
While they play football.
Yeah, we were just discussing this, and we are here. The moment they made that decision, within the next day, I believe, is when they said, okay, that decision means now we got – they made it. So that decision means now we got to go back and rethink selective services. And there's so many people who don't even think about the unfolding of everything.
Consequences, sure.
Consequences are saying, that's right, we need to do it. We need to totally do it. And it's like, think about this. Let's just shift for a moment. I mean, there was an awesome night that we celebrated at Christmas, but we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God became man. I mean, think about how awesome that is. It was a holy night. It was a silent night. It was a night that the stars appeared that led the kings to Jesus. It was, you know, King Herod was hearing about it, and he was all wanting to kill Jesus before his time, and all these things were going on. But there was this holy night that where Jesus was born in a manger. His mother was Mary, and his earthly father was Joseph, but his blood father is God. God's spirit dwelled over Mary, and she conceived a son, and the angel said, "You will call him Jesus." Now imagine this. Here we are in America. We just talked about on ABC, there's a television program, and I don't know the program, but it's called Scandal. During the Christmas time, they had this woman, and you're going to see this, and you know you can turn away if you don't want to see this. But and you got to understand, if you're playing ABC, you're covering the entire nation, plus the rest in the world. But this is broadcast across our entire country. They're playing the song "Silent Night, Holy Night," which is about Jesus Christ. It's about Mary having a baby inside of her, and it's going to be born in a manger, and God is going to affirm him as his son, and he is the savior of all mankind. So that song is playing while this particular actress who was on that program is having an abortion.
Mm.
It's the antithesis. It's like a spirit of Herod going, "We're going to kill every child, and not this Jesus is not going to arise."
And Silent Night is playing in the background.
So prepare yourself. I want you to see this. And it's going to break your heart, but this is exactly what's going on. You put this together, what we said earlier, it's like we have to make a decision. Which way are we going to go? Take a look at this.
Folks, after the longest filibuster in modern history, Senator Grant has succeeded, killing the spending bill that would have put Planned Parenthood in serious jeopardy. This has been the defining moment of Melody Grant's political career, as millions of Americans rallied behind her, crashing the live streams on several websites and making the hashtag #IStandWithMelody the number one trending topic on Twitter for much of the evening.
Miss Pope, are you
ready? We now return you to It's a Wonderful Life, already in progress.
Soft tissue and illness. An antidote to greatness. You think you're better off with people who rely on you, depend on you, but if you're wrong, because you will inevitably end up needing them, which makes you weak, pliable. Family doesn't complete you. It destroys you.
Can you imagine if that is Mary laying on that table and God overshadowed her womb and she's carrying the Son of God inside her? That's what the song represents. And this doctor, these laws in America, Roe versus Wade, all these people that are saying, take the child. And you've seen all the things we saw in 2015. And they're saying, take the baby. End the baby. What would have happened if Jesus would have been aborted? What would have happened? Listen, we're in some perilous times. They're talking about drafting women. They're talking about, you know, potentially President of France war. You know, things are pushing all that way. We're doing things like you just saw across our national television. We need to be prepared. That is amazing what we just saw with, you know, playing Silent Night, the birth of Jesus, Holy Night, and watching that camera. And all you could think about, this is like Mary allowing her child to be taken and celebrating it, you know, doing it for entertainment or to prove a point. And that's a Herod point.
There used to be just some things you don't talk about, you don't do, but now everything is so on the table.
Silent Night, which represents the birth of a baby, the birth of a savior, at the same time taking a baby's life and hearing the in the background saying family is not a blessing. It's basically words are being said is like families that, you know, it's a problem you need to deal with, it coming against family. And I didn't see the whole program, but I know this clip right here that we saw because we heard reports of it is like, and there it was. It's exactly what was broadcasted reportedly on ABC television. And it's like, what are we coming to that we're okay with that? You know, and the world could do whatever it wants to do. We're not in control of the world. But where are we? And I don't know how many people are watching that, but somebody's watching it. That's why they're staying on. They wouldn't, mm-hmm. they wouldn't keep it on if somebody wasn't watching it. And we have to take a stand. What are we doing with our the female part of our culture, the ladies, the men, the girls? Well, what are we doing with them? Sending them to war? If we have a concern about war on women, and we're partnering with and buying most of our products, a large percent of our products, and borrowing money from China, when just up until recently, you could only have one child. And if you had another child, the reports are they would kill him. One particular doctor reportedly took a baby that just came out of a mother's womb. And because she was a girl and they wanted boys now, because if you only have one, it's got to be a boy because the boy's going to take care of the family. They took that baby and stuck it in water, in a bucket of water, in the presence of the doctors and everyone. This is reports on the Blaze, and drowned that baby right there in front of the mother. And they began to determine after 5 months is when you could determine the sex of a child in the womb, and they would abort. They aborted the girls, the women, because they wanted boys. And now there's not enough women in China for the men. And so now they're saying, okay, now we will allow you to have two children. The war on women is in China. They're killing female babies. The war on women, just like Dr. Avita King says, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is on babies in the womb.
Wow.
The babies either are male or female. And if you're killing the child, the female or male, but let's just say, for argument's sake, you can kill all the baby male babies. But the other ones you're killing are girls, women, future, you know, leaders, wives, daughters, you know, recruits, I guess, you know, the wow. early part of work. It's like, that's what's going to happen. And in China, they're specifically going and taking out the females because if you have a daughter, then she's going to get married, and then she's not going to take care of the family. But if you have a son, he will take care of the family. So All the females, Lord knows how many, because you're talking about one, they're three times the size of American population. We're talking about 1.3 billion folks. Imagine all the babies that have been killed in China while we're using their products, while we're borrowing money from them, while we're supporting them. And we're talking about there's a war on women in America? They're four times bigger. Think about it. Four times bigger than America. And that means four times that many more pregnancies, you know, four times, you know, all these abortions that are taking place, and more than that, because you know, it's just, what are we coming to? And now in America, in the midst of why that's happening in China, we have an actress sitting on a table having an abortion, acting out an abortion while they're playing Silent Night. Do you think it's going to go well for America? I mean, it's just not going to go well unless we got to say, wait a minute, we're going in the wrong direction, you know, and we have to own our own stuff first. I mean, we're not, you know, just pointing fingers here. It's like we're in this thing together, This big ship called America that's gone adrift. There's no mooring line. She's sinking. She's going down. I know this. You got to learn to swim. But we have to begin to say, you know what? We have gone way too far. And this is what happened with this is what happened in the 20s when that happened in the 20s in America. Everything was getting wild. Everything, speakeasies and all the craziness that was going on and all the wildness and the bootlegging because the prohibition was there and just wild things. All of a sudden in 1929, there was a financial collapse and 5,000 banks crashed, closed in America. People lost all their money. I mean, money was lost all over the place. And the people that were in these, you know, these 20s.
Roaring 20s.
And they were, you know, doing all these drugs and alcohol. And that was with the 20s is when women started coming to bars with men and began to do the Charleston and all that kind of stuff. And then open sexual, you know, freedom of the 20s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women got, you know, were voting at that point and they decided what they could do. And next thing you know, and women should vote. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sometimes you get a freedom, and it's like we took it and went the wrong way with it. And in 1929, it ended with a financial collapse. And now the same lady who was in a dress and the same man that was in a suit, and they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing, were in a bread line begging for food, selling all their properties. They had cotton and vegetables on the farms. The price dropped so low that they just left it in the fields. They didn't even harvest it. They had the product. They had the vegetables. They had the cotton. But the value of it was so low, they just let it die in the fields.
Cost more to harvest it than when you could actually sell it for.
Yeah. You know, and people think, well, you know, I'll still have this, I'll still have that. Well, if it's not worth anything, if the worth of everything just goes away. See, they didn't even think about when in the roaring 20s that there's going to be a consequence for all these wrong decisions.
Mm.
Politicians were corrupt. You know, at that time, you know, everybody was on the payroll of, not everybody, but, you know, Chicago. Chicago was known from the mayor all the way down, being on the payroll of the mobs that was going on, the bootlegging mobs.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody. When you look at the story of the Valentine Massacre, that guy, I forget his name right now, but he was paying off, Everett. Tons of people, journalists. He was in competition with Hearst. You know, he was doing all these different things. And they finally got him on tax evasion.
Capone,
yeah, that's the one. But police officers weren't turning him in for murder because they were making money.
Mm-hmm.
Judges weren't convicting him because they were making money. Attorneys weren't prosecuting because they were making money. Mayors supported him. He actually supported the mayor to get in. I mean, is this the direction that we want to go? I mean, God could lift his hand off of us, and even though we have something, it could be worth nothing. If we don't see the direction that we're going in our country, and truly believe, it is not the people who are not in the church. It's not people who don't claim to be followers of Jesus. It has nothing to do with them. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, it's our abortions, it's our sins, it's things that we're doing that's causing this, or not doing, that's allowing it. If we turn from our wicked ways and we repent and humble ourselves and pray, he says he will hear from heaven and he will stop this. Guess what America did when the Depression hit? They prayed.
They prayed.
And things began to change. If you go back and look at who came up in the Depression, you're looking at Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham was walking through a city that he was in when God had called him. He's looking at the Great Depression that had happened. But God was raising up a deliverer to begin to deliver, you know, a people, many, many people. And that's what God's going to do. But we have to begin to wake up and pay attention. Why do we have to have this crash that Perry Stone just talked about, you know, that we had on our program? He's talking about it's coming and it's going to cause many Jews to pull their money out of Israel and other countries and put it in Israel. It's going to cause, you know, some major shifts in world power. But all we have to do is go, right, this is just not right. Even if we like it, I mean, just because we like something doesn't mean we're supposed to do something. It doesn't mean we don't go by feelings. And you can like something and acknowledge that it's wrong and I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to do that. If you're waiting for your flesh to line up with God, I mean, it's not going to do it. But your spirit, man, if you go, God, I want to do what's right. I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. When you make those decisions and begin to abide with him, he just empowers you to say no to things you couldn't say no to before. It's not that you're going to be perfect and you don't make a mistake, but we're not going to be the roaring 20s anymore. We don't even know, you know, which bathroom to go to anymore. We don't even know who's him and who's her and where we're going. I mean, it's all over the map. But now we're talking about drafting our daughters, and we're having abortions on national television while we're playing Jesus' song, the song that talks about Jesus, Silent Night, the night that Jesus, our Holy Savior, was born. While we're editing his name out of plays, the Charlie Brown play in the school, they pulled him out, the scripture out, and the songs and commercials that like Microsoft played, they edited his name out of, they used his song that talked about him. But when it, all of a sudden the lyric came up about him, they edited him out.
And they're rewriting lyrics to these amazing worship songs,
yeah,
editing every trace of the Lord
while we allowed Silent Night to be fully played, while we acted out on the stage, on televisions across America, the killing of an unborn child. Where are we, America? You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.